This is Gila Members Community Radio, KURU, Silver City, New Mexico, 89.1 FM, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to our special coverage of the Silver Consolidated Schools Board Meeting of Tuesday, February 17, 2015. As you may be aware, in the election of February 3rd, the challengers for the two contested seats won by large margins. But the underlying issues which drove voters to the polls in an unusually high turnout remain unresolved. Here we present gavel-to-gavel coverage of the full regular meeting and the work session that preceded it. Please note that the executive sessions were not recorded as they are not open to the public. Here is the Silver Consolidated Schools Board meeting of Tuesday, February 17th, 2015.
Start the Silver Consolidated School District School Board meeting work session, February 17th, 2015 at 5:09. Okay. We don't have that much business so on work session, so we've decided we're just going to go into and complete our closed session, right? Do I hear a motion to go into? Let's get a roll call vote first that everyone's here because we're going to do that. Mr. Arvidson?
Here.
Mr. Egan?
Here.
Mr. Torres?
Here.
Mr. Petty's here. Okay.
Anthony
Gutierrez is missing. Okay. Now we have the work session. We have a closed session tonight, so we don't have anything for work session. We're going to go ahead and go into closed session. Do I hear a motion to go into closed session?
Do we know if Anthony's coming?
I don't know. I have not heard from him.
I so moved to move into closed session. Second, close the work session and go into closed session?
Right, yes.
No, you're not. You're just
going to close. No, you can't close it. We just go into closed session. We come out, then we'll close the work session.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Mr. Torres seconded it. First and second, all in favor?
I agree with the roll
call. Roll call vote? Yes.
Mr. Arvidson?
Aye.
Mr. Egan?
Aye.
Mr. Torres?
Aye.
And Mr. Petty?
Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to go into closed session and we'll be out in a little while.
What's the subject of the closed session?
Oh, excuse me. I apologize for that. It's H2, Limited Personnel Matters. It's the Superintendent's Evaluation and Contract. That's what, I apologize, I should have said that already. But that's what it's about. H2, Limited Personnel Matter. I am the Superintendent's Evaluation and Contract. We have, no decisions were made and we have not completed that, and so we will continue that at the end of this meeting along in the executive session where it's scheduled there. Okay, do I have a motion to close the work session?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Torres. First and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, work session is over. We'll start in about 5 minutes. Call the regular board meeting for the Silver Consolidated School District, February 17th, 2015, to order at 6:05 p.m. I'd like to welcome you and have a roll call. Mr. Arvidson?
Aye. Here.
Mr. Egan?
Here.
Mr. Torres?
Here.
And Mr. Petty's here.
And Mr. Gutierrez.
All right. And yes.
Mr. Gutierrez is not.
Mr. Gutierrez is not. Okay. If you'd all join us in Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I salute the flag of the state of New Mexico, the symbol of perfect friendship among united cultures.
recording. All right, if you'd review and approve of the minutes of January 20th, 2015 work session, and also the January 20th, 2015 regular meeting, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, consideration approval of the agenda for tonight.
Move to approve the agenda for this evening.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Robertson, second. Have first and second. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. All right. We come to public comments. We have Lorna Rubelman. Yes, ma'am. You have 3 minutes, please.
I was hoping, is Mr. Gutierrez going to be here, or is he?
I guess not.
Okay. I just wanted to say that the community has spoken, and Francis Vasquez is going to be our new school board member. And thanks to our democracy, I wanted to thank Anthony Gutierrez for calling and congratulating his opponent, who won the election by a substantial amount. And I would ask that in our democracy, you please consider turning over the reins of power to the will of the community. And as far as Mr. Stribe's contract goes, I do hope that you will wait until the new board is seated. And that is what the community, I feel, would really like to have happen, as evidenced by the overwhelming results of the election. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kyle Johnson, please.
Thank you. My first comment is with regard to the public comment request form. Could you revise this to indicate what is required by law as far as information that is asked for, and whether or not we are required to state in advance what the nature of our comments might be, aside from the personal information? I would like for you to review that, and please let us know what the law is with regard to what's requested on the form. I would like to echo the comments from Ms. Rubelman, and as the chair of the board, as the lone remaining board member involved in the selection of Mr. Stribe, I strongly suggest that you table any consideration of extending that contract. When you were elected 4 years ago, you got about 80 votes. Well, apparently, half of those people wised up. And where over 90% of the vote went to the other candidate, and where the sitting candidate, who is not sitting in that chair, is not present tonight and was still defeated by a substantial margin, I think that demonstrates clearly that there is a community will here, and you violate that will at your risk, at the risk of the seats that you are sitting in right now. And believe me, if you extend this contract, you will not be sitting in those seats when your term expires. I guarantee it. So that is the extent of my comments. I hope that you will see reason and recognize that the distrust, the division, the discord that you have created in this community has come to an end. And if you try to extend it by rehiring this person or extending their contract, it will be hell to pay.
Thank you for your threats, sir. Appreciate it.
That's not a threat. It's a promise.
Thank you.
And
all right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Shriver?
Yes, sir. We have presenters tonight from Harrison. Mr. Carter, I see, has some teachers and people there with him. Sir, would you like to take the floor?
Not really. Can I be limited to 3 minutes also?
No, sir. 30
Do I have to face this way?
It's up to you.
Can I face this way? No, I don't want to face that way. I apologize.
Just speak loud enough so they can hear you.
I just apologize. I started this plan, throughout the day, and unfortunately, I had a few interruptions, so I did not get all of my plans put together to be presented here. So,
you know, I apologize. Disorder too.
That's right. That's the way it works. And so this is just a little bit of my outline here. I apologize in advance. Most people realize I was somewhat of an educator before I returned to from retirement. I'm living proof that some idiots can be talked into anything. But I work at Harrison Smith Elementary School, probably the greatest kids and greatest staff that you will find in this district or maybe the state. Harrison Smith Elementary School, I understand, was constructed or completed in 1971. There was a remodel that increased it by about 12 classrooms in 1998, I think. There are 522 students at Harrison. Well, I understand today 524. But 524 students, 33 certified staff members, which means teachers. That includes 4 per grade level, with the exception of first grade, which has 5 teachers. 7.5 instructional assistants. That would be 4 in kinder, a halftime music instructional assistant, also ESL librarian, and 1 special ed instructional assistant. 4 office support staff, which includes a principal, 2 secretaries, nurse, and 3 custodial, and then we have 4 ancillary staff members there. I decided that I wasn't going to present anything as far as graphs and plots and charts and all that good stuff. I would just talk a little bit about the expected environment there as I started this year, is that we implement a positive atmosphere for students, staff, and families. I hope that we've accomplished that. I'd like to see that the staff is placing students as a first priority within the school. Sometimes we maybe have to deal with things that aren't favorable, but the idea is that the students and the students' safety, their education, etc., be placed as the first priority. Also that expectations are clear and forced, a lot of that for safety reasons, and but whether that's in the instruction of the English language or the math scores or whatever the case may be. Expectations clear and enforced. That staff have a sense of the fact that all staff, regardless of their level, are essential. An instructional assistant is no less important than a certified staff member. And that the common sense approach to the educational process, considering the time available, the resources, etc., be extended to staff to be able to make decisions and do things throughout the school day. In instruction, some of the things that have happened over the past few years, and I know that on one part of the board agenda is Literacy First being presented, but that we adjust instruction and the technique for it to the student needs as determined by formative assessment. And I'll maybe touch on that in a little bit if my 3 minutes last to that point. But incorporate instruction and instructional techniques to include the best practices for large group, small group, peer instruction, modeling, guided practice, individual practice, and assessment of learning and teaching. And this is basically an outline that comes from Literacy First, but unfortunately, Literacy First didn't invent it. In the mid-80s, a lady named Madeline Hunter had that same outline, with a few exceptions. But I can tell you it wasn't invented there. I mentioned the school was constructed in 1971. I happened to be in about sixth grade. 1970-1971. This was in a little place called Edgemore, South Carolina, and the teacher there, Jane Jordan, did a lot of the same things that are being outlined in Literacy First or Madeline Hunter or whatever approaches, but the idea being that best practices for peer instruction, teachers modeling what needs to go on, teachers then doing a guided practice time for students to practice it correctly, and then individual practice, so on and so forth, and then an assessment of whether that learning is actually taking place. But that's one of the things that we try to incorporate at Harrison and use that process. Some of the other things that we are trying to do in instruction, that the SAT process be used to adjust services, how intervention takes place, try to empower Title I and special ed staff to do what is best for the student based on diagnostic SAT, the SAT, and the student progression. In other words, whether a student is in special ed or whether they're in Title I, that they're not stuck there, but when they reach a goal and get to a point where they are progressing and we can logically expect that they're going to progress as well as the others, push them out of the nest and move on to the next needs that are there. And I would just like to say that, one of the things that I can count on, for the most part, the staff chooses to be very proactive about doing those things. So other things started the PLCs, professional learning communities, to share data, practices, ideas to improve instruction and learning. That has been a task that's been a bit of a challenge. I came into this brand new after being out for a few years and had assumed that some people knew more about it than I did at the school level. And I was guilty of doing what we do sometimes as educators, and that is expecting that you already know that. What's the problem? And then I discover I didn't really understand it, and they didn't either. So we had to back up a little with that. With the discovery testing, we have taken our first discovery test, developed action plans. That's a little tedious, but then we get to the second portion of the discovery test, which is where we can match some of the standards to individual students, do differentiated instruction, and it gets us to a point where we reduce our analysis paralysis. We actually have some standards here, and we can identify the students that are lacking in those standards and those skills, match them together, and now we know who to put together to actually do that differentiated instruction. Facilities-wise, one of the things, and I know that Mr. Potts is in here someplace, but we did actually increased our lab by about one-third again, so we actually have three labs in the school now, and the majority of that, thanks to Mr. Potts, because we had an offer that we couldn't refuse. If you had tables in here, we could fill this lab with computers, and so we got tables. And thank you, sir. But that has taken place. What that enables us to do is more time for students to be using technology to learn and to assess, but it gives us a chance to do part testing done as a complete grade across the school in each session, and also for discovery to do a complete grade level testing. One of the things I mentioned here is that we would like to see an ME activity structure added to the campus. Since assemblies, ME, cafeteria all function in one area, as I said, we got about 500 students and one area for all those to do, so it's kind of a juggling act to get all those things to happen in there. To the board, I've got two other handouts. I'm not going to go through those with you, but I know sometimes people ask what questions about differentiated instruction and various things like that. But just a little explanation there. One of the things that I discovered about teachers, if you're a third grade teacher, it's almost like a third grade student. If you ask the question, what did you learn today in school? The answer is usually, I don't know, nothing. And if you ask a teacher, what are you doing that's differentiated for your class whenever they're not getting it? I don't know, because for the most part, most of them are already doing it. It's just a part of that nature. So their response is, I don't know what I'm doing differentiated, but that explains some of those things. I remember dealing with a teacher one time that told me that I teach real slow because I have some slow learners in here. I just try to encourage staff of this fact, as far as the differentiated instruction and things like that, that you have the opportunity. You teach at a level that is appropriate. The really sharp students catch on pretty quick. They're ready to go. The others, you may have to do a little tweaking, and then they're ready to go. And that gives you time now to pull those last few aside and instruct them, because they're not quite grasping it. You don't have to go so slow, because you have slow learners in there. Okay? Did you get that, Gus? Anything else?
No. Thank you very much, Mr. Carter. We appreciate it.
Carter, thank you.
I just want to say our thanks to the principal and his staff and all the good work, and thanks for being there for the kids.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The SCEA?
We have no news.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Stride.
Mr. President, members of the board, in your packets you have a policy advisory about competitive food sales, vending machines in our schools. We're not acting on it tonight, but we will in the near future. Please look that over this next month, because it will be on as an action item next month. It is a recommendation from the state education department that we do adopt and follow their nutrition rules, and the machines in the schools have to serve what is approved. So pay special attention to what is approved, and then we'll talk about it formally next month. Literacy first. I would like to give you an update on that. The consultant was here this last week and met with the principals. Was went to some of the teachers' rooms, watched the teachers, came back and had, they gave feedback to Miss Martinez and Mr. Benakis and myself. Gave us a state of affairs a report on how each of the buildings are doing, and each one is individualized. And so some are ahead of others, some are behind, but as a whole, we're making great progress. Our discovery scores look good. We're coming up on Park. People are getting ready for Park. Ms. Milam, would you update us on what you've been doing with the Park training? I know you had all the administrators in here last week, I think, and we're updating them on administering that test. Can you give us a quick rundown on that?
What we're doing is we're getting ready to do all the accommodations. We have to load them in into the system so that when the child logs in, all the accommodations that are on special ed kids' IEPs are available to the student. And they're like extended time. It could be a different color font. It could be where the information is read to the student using headphones. So there's a lot of accommodations that have to be looked at. And so we had a training on that and on how to set up the test sessions and on the scheduling. And there's a lot of things that are coming down about the schedule that are much more flexible than what we've had in the past. So we were real happy with that. And there's just so much work to get ready that it's overwhelming. And I'm thankful to all of the test coordinators and principals because they are working very hard. They're making sure the kids have practiced. I feel real confident about the kids' skills. And it's just, you know, we're just hoping that all the computers will be okay, and Ben's assured us that they are.
I think so. Mr. Potts has done an excellent job.
He has done a great job.
The test time, Mr. Potts, can you give us a quick rundown on how that went with all the computers? And I know it was a snow day for some of New Mexico, but...
on the day at the park, overall, I think it went really well. I would give us a B+. We didn't have any major issues except at the high school. We had an issue with wireless, but we fixed it the same day. We even tested on machines that we had prepared for the park, and the teachers said the testing went fine. We didn't have any major issues as far as technology-wise. Cliff and everybody went fine, so... the state rated us a level 3, which was the highest you could receive because of the number of tests that we successfully completed on that day. So I think overall it went really well.
And then the kids have a assignment where they can practice now too, right? So teachers can go in with their students and practice on this test. And so what was once a great unknown isn't so much unknown anymore, and kids are learning how to maneuver on the keyboard and things like that, are they not, Mr. Potts? So
yes.
I feel good about it, and our kids are sharp and they're ready. We'll let the chips fall where they may, but I have great faith that they'll do really, really, really well.
And we do have another practice test for the major crops science portion. And it's February 23rd, but it's just for the grades 4, 7, and 11. And it's just a 2-hour window, so they're all ready for it.
Okay. And then tomorrow, board members, we're going up to Santa Fe. Training starts on Thursday. Francis, I think you'll be sworn in the afternoon. They have a judge swear you in and a big room. Everybody that was elected this last time, it's a fun ceremony to watch. And if you have your family there, you can take pictures. It's something to remember, really is. So I don't know if you have family here or not, but if they could accompany you to be there when you're sworn in, it's a nice ceremony and worth remembering. So. That's Thursday afternoon. what we need to do, board members that are here, Arnold and Tony and Chris, is to think about a retreat when Francis and Mike get seated, is to plan a retreat so that we can get our goals and our objectives from the board to me and from me to the teachers organized and out to the public and out to the kids so that they know what's going to be expected of them. So if you would be looking at your calendars in the month of April, probably seeing when we can come to some agreement of when to meet, hopefully before the April board meeting, so that we can report something to the public about our goals. I want you to also start thinking about restructuring the board meetings, the work session, and the regular meetings. Last month, we had the regular work session went on. We finished probably in a half an hour, and then we sat around looking at each other for about a half an hour. And this time, we were able to have something to talk about in the executive session. But I would propose that when, again, Francis and Mike are seated, we talk about not having work sessions unless we need them, and then schedule them on a different day and at a time that Chris can get off from work and get here, maybe eat something more than an apple, and then also maybe change the board time so that, again, he can get something to eat and not have to go all day and all night without eating. So I think that's all I need to talk to you guys about. Sorry, I'll shut up. All
right. Mr. Strack?
Yes, sir?
On that test, the next science one, is it going to be a statewide?
Yes, it's statewide.
Push the whole system in? Okay.
One question for Ben. This is a Ben question. I know that in state funding or testing like this, sometimes the bottleneck isn't the high school or isn't the school district, but it's the state and getting to their servers and access. Because half the state was or a third of the state was in a snow day, do you still think their ability to do what they need to do is still going to be there?
I think it will. With the park, it operates differently than the SBA does. There's three different tests that are online now, EOCs. The SBA and the park, they all use different platforms and all have different requirements. The park test uses servers locally at the district to hold the content and then sends it up, so it's a better model as far as that. It uses less bandwidth out of the district.
Okay.
So it actually works better than the SBA will test the district's bandwidth more because all the information goes direct to them. So even though they didn't test all the park at once statewide, because it's stored locally on our servers, it should be fine. When we did the day at the park, we didn't tell the district, the other schools, any of the schools to operate differently than they normally would have. So there was still computer use going on in the classrooms. The students at the high school, you know, still had all their phones going, everything like that. So we looked at our bandwidth during the testing. The most we ever got was 70 meg of our 100 meg. So we still had 30 meg free during the testing. We should be fine as far as bandwidth like that goes. We're making some changes with our wireless. The wireless problem at the high school wasn't that we didn't have enough wireless. It was that there were so many student devices on that day, we ran out of addresses. And we fixed that within about 10 minutes after we figured out what it was. So that won't happen yet.
Any other questions, board members? Chris, you get yours answered?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Mr. Benakis.
I have nothing except a bus driver later on.
Okay.
To be approved.
All right. Ms. Martinez is not here. Anyone's representing her? Okay. Mrs. Milo.
Mr. Stride asked me to speak about our collective bargaining update, and we've been meeting, and I think it's been very productive, and there's a couple of things that we did that were maybe some typos that we had to agree, you know, that were in the contract, so we've agreed to those. One of the big ones that we've done, and I'm kind of excited about, is right now we have a sick leave bank, and whenever somebody retires or leaves, or well, retires, they're able to give 5 days is all. What we've agreed upon is that they're able to give any of their unused sick leave back. So that will definitely help rejuvenate our sick leave bank without having to worry about getting more from the members now, okay? So we were kind of glad about that. We did agree on that we need to rewrite the language of the PLCs, the professional learning communities, so we're going to do that. We've also agreed to write some language for the teacher evaluation, and tomorrow we're meeting with Mr. Strive and the administrators, and we're going to come up with some language for the next time. And I think that's what we agreed upon.
Right. Right now. We meet Thursday.
Yeah. So I think it's positive. I think that the things that we're looking at are things that are good that are happening, and we're also looking to try and do the contract this year for 2 years rather than just one. That would help a lot, and I think both sides are pretty agreeable to that. So that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Sherwood, anything you'd like to add to that?
We did just have one other little section we're going through, and I shouldn't say it's little, but because it's going to be it is pretty long right now, but it is, we don't have anything in the contract for bullying or harassment, and so that is something also that we're looking into and getting put in.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Ms. Smile, are you done with that?
Oh, yes,
sir. Is that it? Okay, all right, thank you. Board self-evaluation results. What do you have on the self-evaluation board?
We just have 3 out of 5, so I didn't tell you.
What's that?
We only received 3 out of 5, mm-hmm. So I didn't tell them.
You didn't tell him, okay. Mm-hmm. Any comments that you'd like to, on your written evaluation, any comments that you'd like to make or anything?
We've just evaluated ourselves, and I'm pretty satisfied with what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, the evaluation of the superintendent, again, we're going back into closed session at the end, and we'll continue that then. Board of Education comments.
Mr. President, I would like to have, 5-10 minutes?
Yes, sir. You have whatever time you need.
On one of your comments, you said that nobody, if I understood correctly, nobody called their opponents or anything. I myself contacted Mrs. Vasquez and congratulated her and told her I was eager to work with her. So just wanted to clarify that, and I did speak with Mr. McMillan as well. The voters, you say, have spoken. But what I see where we failed is in our governorship. You put the same person in what you guys want us to stand up for Common Core and all this. Well, it was all of you. I don't know if you voted for Mrs. Martinez. I know I didn't. Now we got the confirmation of Scandera, which is gonna get worse. That I'll guarantee you. How many teachers are in the state of New Mexico? I think just by that, teachers would have defeated her. We had a perfect candidate.
Could you pardon me for just a second? I wanted to be able to hear you, and you were facing the audience, which we appreciate. Let me just bring this to the side.
We had a perfect candidate. Not only our senator, but my friend, Howie Morales. Probably, I'm not exact on how many registered voters there is, but I believe there's over 18,000. Only 4,000 or so voted. Where were you guys then? We can't fix things because it starts up there. You bash the board that we don't do this, we don't do that. You know what? We're doing our jobs. And soon Mrs. Vasquez will know what we deal with every day. You know, another thing is that I keep hearing is the money in the reserves. So I will ask you, how much money do you guys want in the reserves? 1 million, 2 million? You tell me, and I will give Mr. Strybe a directive. So what's it going to be?
Can we reply to you?
Sure. I'm asking you a question.
I think that the appropriate number is the recommended number, as the state suggests, 4 to 5%.
Mr. Strike.
Yes, sir.
Fix this. Give us 4 to 5% at whatever means you feel necessary to do so. But just remember, when there's something like this, there's layoffs. Just make sure that you're here at these meetings to explain to people that might lose their job. Why? We have stood here and tried to keep everybody working. Yeah, we've gone below our 4 to 5%. But I hope you get this right this time, Stuart. I said last time, our current, or maybe I wasn't clear enough, our current superintendent had 4 to 5%, which was $1.4, $1.6 million in reserves. And I also said, how long have we known about PARC testing? 5 years. Yet nothing was done prior to Mr. Strybe getting here. Nothing was done to prepare us for the future. But yet, you blame myself, the rest of this board, and Mr. Strybe. And I think that's, you know, that's your opinion. I have mine, but mine are facts. Because I see the day-to-day operation, and I'm looking at everything. You know, how long ago did they know Aldo Leopold was going to start a new middle school? Once again, 5 years. Nothing was done. Why? And it's not a joke. I'm being honest here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why we have the situations we have now, because things are funny. To me, they're not funny. I take great pride in what I do. You know, like I said, I don't know how many of you voted for Ms. Martinez. I know I didn't vote for her. So for the ones that did vote for Ms. Martinez, this is on you. You know, I'm lost now. You know, I have heard about union. I've been a union man my whole life, born and raised. And I don't think it's fair to say that people don't join the union because of retaliation. I don't believe that at all. I dealt with that at Chino for many years, over 20 years. A lot of them just don't want to pay the dues. You know, how many people go to your meetings? More or less.
How many people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were about 30 people before the retaliation began. Now we're down to 10. So I have facts, too.
If you want to know facts,
I'll tell you facts.
No, that's fine.
In front of everybody. But if you want to know facts, I'll tell you facts.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do that here. It's not proper.
No, I'm just defending myself because
Mr. Strike's anger management issues and his documented. I'm sorry, Mr. Strike. I'm sure you have many good qualities, but personnel management doesn't seem to be one of the top ones. Documented cases of screaming and yelling at employees and taking actions that is just unacceptable.
Sir,
as a superintendent.
Sir,
that's I think really.
Mr. Torres has the floor.
You know, and I hear that. Just to let you guys rest assured that I'm on the radar, that I'm next. Well, don't worry about me. because I will not run for re-election, because I will not subject myself to the same harassment, intimidation, bullying that you guys are saying is taking place in our school.
It did not start here.
Huh?
He said I could respond to him. It did not start with me.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm not singling out anybody. I'm just talking in general. You know, we got big issues here in this district. A lot more than what you guys say. You know, I didn't want... Would it be a fair statement to say that before Mr. Stribe got here, everything was fine? I have had this letter that I have held for over 2 years. And this was addressed to Mr. Stribe. I won't mention names. I don't want to read all of it because I don't feel right in bashing people. But I'll read some of it. We're looking to having a new superintendent in the future. And because of narcissistic, self-absorbing people who wield so much power where they are. None of these problems will go away unless a new superintendent comes in. You know, and I don't want to read the rest of it, but this was the problem has been years in the making, the self-seeking short-sightedness of our superintendent concerning teachers and staff of Silver Schools. Mr. Stribe, we've had a major adjustment in our administration. Having a person with a different perspective than we have had for so many years is truly a source of optimism. And this is probably from a lot of educators that are working for us still. I've known about a lot of stuff. That's why I ran for the board. My main goal is the kids. I want to make sure every single kid in our district is treated fairly, has the same opportunity as everybody else, no matter who you are. Thank you.
What's that?
I have some comments.
Okay. Mr. Regan, go ahead.
It's difficult to sit up here and not be able to answer every question, every statement, everything, because I'm not allowed to. There's personnel issues. There's other issues. Our transparency is, you know, there's things we can be transparent on. There's things we can't be transparent on. But the one thing I know is why did I come on the board? Well, first of all, I want to say is I came on the board because Trent Petty called me and said, no one in this town has signed up to be on the board. I know you care. Would you be interested in running? One day before the election. So I went down to the county office and waited for someone to sign up that were more interested. No one showed up. So I said, you know what? I can come help. I've got a full life. I'm a pastor. I'm very busy. I'm dealing with stuff that are real, life and death. And I care about people. And when I stand here and be accused of not caring about students, when I'm accused of I'm not trustful, I'm deceitful. How do I feel when my wife, who's sitting in the second row, sits there and hears accusations made about her husband? I am willing to talk to any person at any time. But I don't get phone calls with concerns. People walk in this room at the last, you know, they throw these things at us. We have no time to prepare. They demand an answer. We can't give you an answer because you just walked in and let me just say this. Not everything that's said on that side of the room is true. Someone makes an accusation, everybody claps, everybody applauds. We go and investigate it, and it's not even true. Then what do? Stand up and call everybody a liar? See, that's where I want to come to a place. Let's sit down and reason. Let's sit down and talk. Thank you. You know, and I don't, you know, I don't know how to do it. And there's some things we just can't talk about. And when we can't talk about it, and you don't, I don't even can imagine how it feels on that side of the room when someone says, we can't say anything, and you go, but why not? This is reasonable. You know what? There's three things. We're going to the state next week, and we get to go talk to the representatives. You know the first priority that the National School Board is asking school boards to talk about? Is returning local control to the board. Oh, yes. That would be wonderful. The second mandate that they're asking us to talk about is stop mandating unfunded things. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? And third is increase funding so we can do some of the things we can do. You talk about the budget. Yes, we have spent the budget, and we're down to a 1.2 or 1.6. I don't remember exactly what it is right now. 1.1. Great. Because I'm sure glad it's not sitting in the bank when kids are doing without. And we need to start dealing with the needs of the school district. Mr. Potts, thank you. But you know, nothing personal, you're expensive. He's really expensive because he's doing it right. My child went to Silver High School. First year he was there. He couldn't get on the network. First year he was there, he was taking a computer programming class, and the teacher was teaching a program language that went extinct 20 years ago. And she didn't even know current C++. Guess who my son taught it to her so she could teach her kids? Is that appropriate education? No. Thank you, Ms. Lougie, for the changes you have brought to the high school. Because I know with confidence career paths are being handled, technology issues are being dealt with, problems are being dealt with. But you know, Ms. Lougie, you think you can solve it in 2 months? They say a culture in a school can only change within 5 to 7 years. We've been at it for 2. We won't even be able to evaluate how well we do for another 3. And we can go and slash and make changes and start all over again. But it's going to cost the kids of this district. You know what? I want to run again because I believe what we're doing with our priorities on letting every child become a learner, making sure they have the correct plan to become the best learner they are, if it's academically or BOTED, if that's whatever it is, then that's what it needs to be. But we haven't done it well. My son, personally, why I kept harassing, by the way, I brought issues to Trent. Trent, how many times did I bring them to you? I harassed him because my son, who was going to be an engineer student at Socorro, could not get prepared to do what he needed to a high school level to go on. And I will tell you, not all the classes he took up at Western prepared him. He had to repeat Cal 2 because over 40 to 50% of the stuff in his calculus, Cal 2, wasn't taught to him. We got to figure that out. Thank you, Ms. Lougie, for figuring that out. You know, I'll give you another 3 years. But I just want to say to you, you don't know everything. And if you were sitting back here, it's a different world. My phone number and email is on the website. You can contact me. I will talk with you. Mr. Strive, ask Mr. Strive how many times I come in brain concern weekly into his office. I'm surprised he hasn't thrown me out. But I feel every time I bring a concern and an issue, he does his best to try to deal with it. And they've been difficult. There's been some difficult issues to deal with. So I ask you as the public, let us do our job and stop trying us in the newspaper at this. Come work with us. Because I've watched Mr. Stride. Every time there's a legitimate, some person comes up, he says, he gets with the principal, that person goes and works with the principal, they're on a committee, and they work towards a positive solution. Wow. Let's do that all the way around. I want 500 people in the union meetings. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not anti-union. So I just want to say to you, think about what you do and how you do it. You know what? Simple as this. I'll give you the last example, and I'll be quiet. No, I won't be quiet. I got accused of being irrational and unscientific because I'm a creationist, and we need to kick people off like that. By the way, for your information, the board has no power. We don't do curriculum. That's governed by the federal government and by the state. I have never brought a personal issue and drove it in this board. And not one person in this board has done that. And you need to understand, and I know that from this side, and I think everyone in this room would shake their head yes. But to be accused of things like that, that's where my patience are starting to be at an end. So I ask you, be reasonable. Let's sit down and talk. Every one of us are open to that. And if we can, what little power we have, we're willing to use it that way. My last thing I want to say is, Trent Petty, I want to thank you for 8 years of leadership. I want to thank you. I thought you were 8 years.
No,
4. Hey, 4 years of leadership.
Yeah.
And 4 years of being on the board. Because it has been an honor to work with you. And I thank you for all that you've done. And don't let this sour what's happened. And I also look forward to working with Frances. And I've told her that. And I said, we can be a team. And we're all planning to work as a team and become a board. And so, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a point of order. Mr. Stride.
Yes, sir.
I am bringing up, guys, you might think this is petty, sorry, but it just irritates the snot out of me. Three times in the history of this board, I have been told that we can't do something because as an employee, we don't do this. Again, I'm planning to take my personal car up to the board meeting and not use a fleet car. And I was quoted a regulation that says, for all employees, by the way, Mr. Shrive, we're not employees. By the way, we're not employees.
We don't get paid.
We are governed by the board section, not the employee section. So I'm asking that we be governed by the board section. And if you look at, B3400, it says, board members shall serve without compensation. Board members may be reimbursed for expenses incurred in connection with school board business. And I just want to say that we fall under that, and we do not fall under the employee guidelines. So I would like a ruling on this. Now, if I have to take my car, I'll do it and pay for it. I don't really care. But let's do it right.
Okay.
And I know that wasn't your decision, but that was passed down to me, so I want to correct that.
Okay.
So, and I don't feel we need to make a motion and a movement and all that kind of stuff, but you want to give an opinion on that?
I do. I have an opinion, and I also have a legal opinion. You are correct. Up to $85 a day per diem for expenses for each day spent in discharge of official duties of salaried public defenders or employees of a local public body or state agency. It tells here that in lieu of payment, you get the per diem, and I will instruct the business office to reimburse you at the proper rate for your expenses up to $85 per day plus the the mileage that's been adopted by the state legislature.
And by the way, I think it's going to be cheaper driving a car than this Suburban that gets 9 miles to the gallon.
Okay. Mr. Arvidson, did you have any?
No,
I have a comment real quick. I'd like to thank, first of all, the Silk Consolidated School District for the opportunity they've given me to serve on the board as a member for the past 4 years. To Mr. Stribe, to Mr. Poole, and to all the board members, both now and in the past, I want to thank you. I've had the pleasure of serving with you, and thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. I've certainly learned a lot from all of you. I come away with some friends that I would have never had the pleasure of meeting nor serving with if it were not for this opportunity. I'd like to say thank you to those of you who have disagreed with me. I've certainly learned a lot from all of you also. I appreciate those of you who were gracious enough to point out to me that you have a college degree. After listening to you, I'd never guessed. I realize now many people are not shy about exposing their ignorance of our form of government in such a public manner. This experience alone has shown me our desperate need for education in history, social studies, and political science. There are many things that this school board knows that many of our detractors do not know. For example, we know we have the authority to eminent domain your home, but not the authority to change this school curriculum. We know we have the authority to set the budget, but only if it's above the line. We know we have the authority to write policy, but only if the state approves. We know we have the authority to hire and fire the superintendent, but only when he does something that rises to the level of being fired. It must be proven, and it cannot be based on gossip. I know now with certainty what Charles Spurgeon said: a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. We know it has already been established by Judge Bustamante of the New Mexico State Court of Appeals that Secretary Hannah Scandera does have the authority to overhaul the state teachers' evaluations. Judges Sutton and Kennedy have concurred. We know as a school board we cannot change that. We are aware that things as simple as our students' readings list are established by the New Mexico Public Education Department. After having seen the bigotry and narrow-mindedness of some in our community in the past year, I now know why the state establishes that reading list. That is why it does not surprise me that we do not have the authority to reject Common Core either. We also know what an Open Meetings Act violation is and what it is not. We also know that the school board members in New Mexico do not get paid for their service to their community. When you finally realize the true scope of New Mexico school boards, you will be disappointed, but I hope it motivates all of you to take a course on state New Mexico law. Thank you again for truly eye-opening experience. Okay, now we move on to the consent agenda. Mrs. Milam, the budget, please.
Mr. President, members of the board, we're asking tonight for approval of checks written in the amount of $2,356,112.12 for January 2015. We do have a couple of budget adjustment requests. The first one that I gave you a handout on is the operational budget. The net is zero. What happens when you have different budgets from the schools transferring funds from one function to another? It has to be approved by the State Department, and so the net would be zero. And Cliff is transferring funds to cover custodial supplies for the rest of the year out of one of their other funds. Fund 27107 is the GO bond, and this is something that is, every time we get it, it's good for 2 years. This is the last year of this particular bond, and there's a balance on it of $30,672, and we're asking for you to approve it tonight so that we could set up the initial budget and get that money out to the schools so that they can get it spent, or we will lose it. We have to spend it by June 30th. Then on fund $13,000, which is pupil transportation. It is a decrease in the budget for that particular fund in the amount of $13,188. And what this is the final adjusted budget for the fiscal year 15. They give us an initial budget every year, and then they wait until the 40th day of the next year, and it's based on the ridership. And I don't know, Gus, do you want to say anything about it? It went down.
Our ridership went down. We have less students. Our enrollment's going down, so therefore our ridership's down. So the budget got hit a little bit. Not as bad as we thought, but it got hit.
And we kind of allowed for that because we knew that would happen. And then sometimes towards the end of the year, the state will give us a bump. And so it's just a surprise when they do. But for right now, it's a loss of $13,188. The last one is 27166. This is for the K-3, the Kindergarten 3 Plus program that we had this summer at 6th Street and Harrison. And what they do is they give you a budget based on what the estimated enrollment's going to be. And then after it's over with, they will go in and adjust our budget, and they're going to adjust it by $110,626.65. And that money is already in that fund. We have not let anybody spend it because we knew that they were going to be reducing it, because we did not have as many kids attend that we had initially thought. So it is not going to be a hit to us because we already had planned on it. So I just wanted you to know that. The other one, we do not have any awards of bids and proposals tonight, and we do not have any donations to report.
All right.
And that's it.
Mr. Benekis?
I just have a bus driver that I would ask the board to approve, please.
Okay. And that's all right. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, no discussion. I have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. All right. For future meetings, do we have, first of all, the next scheduled work session regular meeting will be March the 17th, 2015. The New Mexico School Board Association Board Institute will be February the 19th through the 21st in Santa Fe. And Board Reorganization will be in March, the March 17th meeting. Is there anything else, Board, that you'd like to put on the agenda? Nothing. Okay, if there's not, do I have a motion to go back into closed session? We need to go into complete H2, limited personnel matters, superintendent's evaluation, and contract.
So moved.
And Mr. Torres seconded. I have a first and second roll call vote, please.
Mr. Arvidsson?
Aye.
Mr. Egan?
Aye.
Mr. Torres?
Aye.
And
aye. All right.
We're going to do that right after I go to that.
Okay. All right. We'll be going into closed session. I can't tell you when we'll be coming out. Okay. Do I have a motion to come out of closed session of H2, limited personnel matters? No decisions were made.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second. I have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
Who's
the
first?
Chris.
And Mr. Torres.
Second. Mr. Arvidsson?
Aye.
Mr. Egan?
Aye.
Mr. Torres?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion after the superintendent's evaluations that the board, in a vote of confidence, gives the superintendent a 3.5 increase in salary.
Do I have a second?
Second.
To have a first and a second, any discussion? Okay, no discussion.
I do want to say that I have appreciated working with Mr. Strive and the job that he's doing and the goals that he set with the district, and I'm very happy with his work.
Okay. All right. No other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right.
You can hand that to me.
I have a first and a second. Mr. Torres made the first and Mr. Egan the second. First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
This is Gila Members Community Radio, KURU, Silver City, New Mexico, 89.1 FM, and online at gmcr.org. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Gavel to Gavel coverage of the Silver Consolidated Schools Board Meeting of Tuesday, February 17th, 2015, as well as the work session that preceded it. Thanks again for your attention and support for Gila Members Community Radio, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.